And welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop. And we're recording this the week of Thanksgiving in the United States. And, of course, Black Friday. But, you know, we're in the future for you guys. It's already happened. So we hope all the you guys in the U.S. had a great Thanksgiving. But that officially begins the holiday season. And it does for us as well. We're going to talk about all of our favorite Christmas-themed movies, movies that happen at Christmas, and, you know, an overly sentimental Invasion of the Remake. Or, in this case, I guess this would be Invasion of the Retrospective, number two. And, of course, with us, my lovely hosts. And I could see they got their Christmas grins on. Trish Coughlin and Jeff McNair, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not going to do an elf voice.
You're not going to do an elf voice?
No. I'm not going to do it. We're going to do an elf voice the whole podcast.
Oh, boy.
I would just speed everybody up.
I could do that in post. And everyone talks really fast.
Talk about an Invasion of the Retrospective episode that I'm going to be way out of my element on. Holy crap.
Well, that's the thing. We all have our Christmas traditions, and there are certain movies. Like, I do get overly sentimental at Christmas, and I do like those feel-good movies. But at the same time, there are Christmas horror movies. There are action movies that happen at Christmas, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard. So, and then there's just sometimes there are those favorite movies that feel right to watch at Christmas. I like to... You know, one year I might burn through the Harry Potters. Another year I might burn through Lord of the Rings. You know, they just feel like they're holiday watches.
Yeah, or you can you have know, a movie
something
where...
something special.
Because you have the time off to get through them all.
Sure.
Once upon a time I did.
Yeah.
I get Christmas and New Year's off, period.
Or you have movies where basically they aren't around Christmas. Like, to me, When Harry Met Sally can be a Christmas movie because the very end, the penultimate moment is like New Year's.
Right.
It hits on Christmas. That's when that all happens.
Yeah. So, that said, I want to know everybody's favorite holiday watch. Well, actually, let's do favorite Christmas-themed ones, because I think the favorite holiday watches are different, a different thing. So, yeah, what are your favorite Christmas-themed movies to watch around this time? And, you know, in all due respect, it's not all Christmas for everybody. Happy Hanukkah and,
yes.
and Feliz Navidad and Kwanzaa and all that stuff. It's very cool, all you guys. I mean, it's a holiday for everybody. And
we're a non-secular podcast.
We're non-secular, but we're going to... I'm going to talk more about Christmassy things, although I think Eight Crazy Nights is a terrible animated film, but beautifully done. Like, it is... a really one of those high-end Disney quality animated films.
Nice.
It's just too bad it's an Adam Sandler film.
Yeah,
totally forgot about that movie.
I really like the idea of the movie. It you know, for how good it looks, it's just not very good. So sad
very
but true.
True.
Maybe that's one for the remake show. I don't know.
We're going to remake Eight Crazy Nights.
That's
yeah,
right.
Why not? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff happens down at the winter solstice. That's where we are now.
Like, yes.
That's why Christmas was here. That's why it's set here.
Yeah. So we're going to be, you know, somewhat holiday themed for the next little bit. And we're going to take Christmas off as well. But so there'll be no episode then. But we might sneak something short,
a little surprising,
short and sweet in there somewhere. So we're talking about it.
We'll run all that dead air I recorded in Lethbridge.
That's right.
Surprise, nothing.
Here is 30 minutes of...
Yeah. Eight hits.
Here's 30 minutes of you sitting contemplating your own fragile existence.
Okay, so favorite
Merry Christmas.
Favorite holiday movies, those things you have to watch every year. Trish, let's start with you.
My favorite one is like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stop motion animation. It doesn't feel like Christmas if I don't watch that one.
Yeah, Rankin Bass for sure.
And sometimes I'll do like it's not Jack Frost. Frosty the Snowman one. I've got like a collection that I can roll through. I know. I love Rankin and Bass. They are my favorites.
Yeah, I do love those Rudolph movies. Of course, the original everybody's seen a bazillion times, but there are quite a few of them. There's the Rudolph and Frosty Christmas in July, which is probably my particular favorite. And
there's the
New Year's one.
Back to the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the Rudolph Shiny New Year one as well.
Mm-hmm.
those are the ones that pop off in my head. And there's all sorts of non-Rudolph ones that Rankin Bass did as well.
Christmas so. Without Santa Claus.
Yeah.
What's that one where it's like...
A Little Drummer Boy.
Jack Frost and the fire guy. Is that Christmas Without Santa Claus?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Christmas yeah. Without Santa Claus. And yeah. there's like Jack Frost and like the evil... Yeah, trying to melt stuff. Mm-hmm.
And Mad Monster Party.
Yeah.
It's not related.
Well, that's the Halloween
still
one.
Rankin and Bass.
Yeah. Oh, for yeah. sure. They're to me, they're Rankin and Bass are a staple of my Christmas.
Christmas is part... Rankin and Bass is a very important part of, I think, most people's Christmas, whether they know the name or not.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You will have watched one. You just may not realize it was Rankin and Bass.
Sure, sure. Jeff?
Yeah, mine 100% is the Rudolph one. It is the only Christmas-themed movie I have like a physical media copy of. Shockingly on DVD. I know everything's Laserdisc or VHS, but that one I have on DVD. And I would buy a Blu-ray if it ever came out. Maybe it exists. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It might.
Yeah, that's my absolute favorite. As far as I know, and I'm 35 now, I've seen it at least 35 times. Like, I watch it every year. I'm sure as a child I was watching it every year. It's awesome.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I used to watch it on TV because it would run for like a week during December. You just watch it every day.
And also right. The Grinch. The Grinch was played a lot.
Oh, of course. The Grinch is a big one. I like the Mickey's Christmas Carol on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the Peanuts.
Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yeah, I was just watching that today.
The Muppet Christmas Carol is just as good.
Like the lamp, not the rat.
And of course, the Peanuts, you know.
Yes.
Got to have a little Charles Schultz.
I can't stand...
Good grief.
Can't stand Peanuts stuff, honestly. Over Halloween, a friend of mine made a Halloween sampler VHS tape, and it was on there in its entirety, The Great Pumpkin, and like, oh, that stuff's just insufferable.
Oh, just as a side note, like, we're talking about Peanuts. I have to say, the new Peanuts movie, I feel it's not a movie that should be done in 3D. I don't think Charlie Brown's head should be in 3D.
His head can't exist in three dimensions. It doesn't make sense.
Well, no, like, he doesn't, they have gravity. Like tiny bits of hair at the top. Like, the whole time I just kept thinking, this is a boy either with alopecia or like encephalitis and he's gonna die really soon.
Never mind the like giant brain tumor growing in his huge melon.
It doesn't look normal. Like, it looks scary. Like, this is a poor dying child.
Peanuts the cancer movie.
Peanuts, that it should have been Peanuts the cancer movie.
Yeah. Totally is. No offense to anybody who eats peanuts, but that stuff's horrible. It's just like a giant arc of like depression and abuse, and I don't understand why people like peanuts. I'm just going to go on record and say I don't like the peanuts. Sorry, guys.
Oh, I like Charles Schultz stuff.
I like it. I just can't. It shouldn't be in 3D. It's too terrifying.
Fair enough. That did bother me that they went in that direction. But just what little I saw of their 3D, I don't know. It seems like the style is there. It's
The hair just looks wrong.
I haven't seen anything outside of a commercial. So
yeah, I haven't seen anything on it.
The last person who should be judging that movie. So
they must have come out. I know the Rankin Bass Rudolph is 1964. I want to say
that's pretty close.
62 or 64, made for TV movie. Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas must be around the same time.
That first one, yeah, it probably was
in the 60s.
Yeah, I think wasn't that the first one that they did? And then that's when they got the Halloween one when they wanted the Peanuts to do like another holiday themed one.
Yeah, maybe.
And to think that Rudolph and Grinch, you know, most of these Christmas specials started in the 60s, and every year, like, they have been there. Every year, like clockwork.
Yeah. Do you know what's totally fascinating about 50 years. Rudolph is that the character of Rudolph, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, isn't much older than the Rankin Bass cartoon.
Yeah.
No.
He was created in the 50s by a guy who did greeting cards for a company, and he had wrote this story for his kids, and his brother was a popular songwriter of the same time period. And that's where the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song came from. And he's credited in the credits of the Rankin Bass. They say Rudolph created by whatever.
Oh, sure, because I don't even think that would be public domain, even now.
No.
No, I don't believe so. And what's crazy to me, and I mean, I'm obviously not that old, and that cartoon is much older than I am, but it just feels like Rudolph is older. Like, it's kind of timeless classic, even though it's only maybe 70 years old, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's totally crazy. Same with Charlie Brown, right? Yeah. Peanuts started in late 50s as well.
Well, the stereotypical way we think of, like, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But Coca-Cola. Yeah, it's a Coca-Cola product. I mean, Santa as a concept has existed much longer, but he, that red jacket and the white, that's the Coca-Cola colors, guys.
And it's also, curse you, Norman Rockwell.
It's also very yeah. North American.
Very North
American. And like, for sure. And so is the name Santa Claus. Like, if you go to the UK, it's Father Christmas.
Yeah, it's a little different everywhere, and the legend changes a wee bit depending on the region you're in, but essentially it's all the same. But it all comes from its Nordic roots.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because now there's this trend with holiday movies where filmmakers that, you know, are our age group or younger are doing the same thing I did with Rudolph, would reach back and find out where this comes from.
Yeah.
And they learn all this interesting stuff that isn't completely westernized and are trying to bring
yes.
to a new audience with, like, the army of Krampus movies.
Krampus.
And, oh, that's this year's
Sinterklaas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rare exports from
yes.
a couple years
from
ago. Europe
from a couple years ago. I think 2008 that
Love
came
that
out.
Movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that old already? Man, I've been...
Maybe it's not that old. I feel like
yeah,
it's
no, I think, yeah, you know, you're right. I think it's about recent, 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah. There may be some sort of international movie database, but I don't use it, so...
I don't know, something with some IMDb of some court? Know.
Yeah. Mm. It's not like you guys aren't on that every time we're doing an episode.
We totally are not.
We're totally looking at it.
We're in a cell phone dead zone in the North Pole right now. So
that's right. We're watching penguins go by, and we actually made this igloo by scratch because we could not actually find Santa's workshop.
No.
We've been misinformed, and I am terribly upset about this.
We went to the proper postcode. We went to HOHOHO.
Yeah. North Pole 1.
And there was nothing but a fucking mailbox.
I know.
Yeah. Right?
Stuffed with letters that no one's ever opened. Oh, depressing.
Yeah.
It looks so much better in Tim Allen's movies.
True. Mm-hmm. Right? True. And you're sitting here going, like, Canada Post is still not picking up some of this stuff?
You know, as you talk about finding Santa's workshop, that's a very, very common theme in Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Where it's kids or someone are trying to find the workshop or go to the workshop. Or you get cartoons like Invader Zim, where they go and it's like a horrible den of mutated elves, or in Futurama where it's
yes,
horrible.
Futurama, I was about when you mentioned that.
It just looked like some sort of slave labor camp. I've always thought of that. Child labor, you know, there's this one giant man and all these little elves building like crazy.
Building and building and building.
I don't know what the pay structure's like over there, but none of them
seem to get free housing and all the gingerbread you can eat, but
yeah, pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe let's just drop this bomb. Guess what, people? Communist. It's just a big communist.
The only ones I can think of were the
big red suit. Just saying, guys. Saying.
Where the workshop is awesome.
Santa's
like
red menace.
Rankin Bass Rudolph. The workshop is awesome, even though Hermie doesn't like to make toys. And in the Tim Allen ones, it's awesome. Do they go there in Prancer?
You don't see a lot of elves because they can't really walk because they've all lost their feet.
They got
left
out.
Have been lopped off because of rampant diabetes.
So. Yeah. Or like, I don't know, every time I see the movie Elf with Will Ferrell, you remember that one?
I have never seen
it. I like Elf.
I have not seen Elf.
Elf is silly fun. Like, Will Ferrell, like, this is the one in the movies I feel that's truly, like, was able to capture, like, some of his energy in a really good way. But, like, he's like Buddy the Elf, but he eats, like, a whole bunch of candy. That's what all the elves eat, but that's their system. They can have all the candy and sugar and digest it. But I'm like, this is a human child. He should be dead by now.
Or, like, 400 pounds.
It's the magic that keeps the diabetes at bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I guess. Yeah, like, Will Ferrell and Elf should be blind and have no feet.
He has prosthetic curly-toed shoes.
That should be it.
There you go.
But yeah, you're right. It always looks like a beautiful, magical place. But yeah, you don't know how the pay structure goes together works out.
Yeah, typically it's a one or the other. It's either an awesome, like, magical world in, like, the child-friendly movies, or it's this cynical, horrible death camp of slavery.
A dystopic future.
Yeah, on the other hand.
I want to see that Christmas movie.
Yeah, there's lots of those. Usually it's Christmas specials on adult-themed animated
stuff. There's this new Grant Morrison comic book called Claus coming out with a K, and I think this is the birth of the legend, at least in Grant Morrison's mind, and he really is this barbarian guy who's a big hunter, and he kicks some ass. He's kind of scary.
Like, nice.
Only one issue's out so far, so maybe it'll start sucking, but I think this could make a really good Christmas movie.
So long as they don't cast Ryan Reynolds in it.
Well,
because that worked out so well.
Well, maybe this is just we're hitting into the next loop of it. Like, as we were talking, you said like 50s, 60s, Santa Claus, magical, wonderful, happy things. And that's like, those are those movies that we remember. But then if you think back, like kind of just a little further on, 70s, 80s, there's a whole run of like horror movies based around Christmas. Yeah. 90s, 2000s, you get back into the magic and the wonder and the joy. And now we're looping back into... horror and blood. Maybe we're just in this next cycle of Christmas movies again.
Yeah, it's Krampus all year this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally is.
And one I just found Krampus online movies. Were like a Christmas horror story, which isn't Krampus, whereas Santa Claus actually is fighting a demon. So I'm interested in that one.
Yeah, so, I'm sure there's Santa Claus versus the zombies coming and whatever.
Already exists.
It probably exists.
There was Santa Claus versus the Martians in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's Santa versus everything.
Cheesy well, fun. Santa versus Satan campy. In that one that
Santa
I found.
Santa versus Satan, yeah. We are going to cover that on Invasion of the Remake. I don't care if it's in the summer.
We're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Get to it.
It's a bizarre, bizarre concept. I just
Well, we were talking about what we do for the episode after Christmas, and we started so late this year that it might be too early to do a look back episode.
Yes.
It's that cheesy thing that sitcoms do, so... The flashback episode. So, yeah, we probably won't do that. We'll do something else. So, but, yeah, that might be a good one to do.
Wait, did we get to your Christmas staples?
Kind of. I kind of opened with them. But as far as my childhood goes, the TV specials, same kind of thing. The Rankin Bass stuff and Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Honestly, there were a lot of... Christmas-themed episodes of cartoons that I really liked. The Justice League one with Martian Manhunter was really quite touching. It was actually two stories in that episode, which was a rarity because you usually wouldn't even be able to finish a story in one episode of Justice League.
For sure.
This is the, like, Bruce Timm, the one?
Yeah.
You know, I just recently, this is totally off topic, but we don't really have a topic, so I'm just going to talk.
It's Christmas topic.
Yeah, Christmas topic. I recently just started visiting for the first time all of that DC animated stuff. I kind of just missed it. After Batman, I never really was into Superman. I skipped Justice League and all of its subsequent things. So now I'm traveling back and have recently done like Justice League Unlimited, which was incredible. Yep. Halfway through Young Justice, which is like probably the best one they put out.
That was excellent. Only got two seasons.
So. Yeah, terrible. And even the Justice League Unlimited, it was only a season and a half. Really.
Well, I mean, it was essentially the third season of Justice League. They just changed the name a little bit. I mean, they did the same thing with Batman. Here's season 3 and 4.
Yeah,
they
four
called it New
Batman
Adventures.
Robin,
So.
But anyway, I haven't got to that one yet.
Yeah.
I have been enjoying them.
Yeah, so those Bruce Timm ones have good Christmas episodes, so I would check those out. I'm not sure if it was in the first two seasons, the longer episodes for Justice League, that Martian Manhunter one. I don't remember actually where that one took place.
I'm trying to think of Batman.
There was a Batman
series.
One,
yeah. Didn't it have the Penguin in it? I feel like the Penguin.
Yeah.
It's not that one where the Batmobile is like left outside that kid's house, is it? Is it that one?
No.
I got to revisit that. There is a Batman Christmas special.
There is, yeah.
Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true.
That's true, yeah. Well,
and the greatest gift
Christmas
ever gave
movie.
Us was Pee Wee Herman as Oswald Cobblepot's dad.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about a lot of our TV special stuff that we lived with and grew up with, but there are films as well. And I mentioned Tim Allen's Santa Claus trilogy, which I think is wonderful. But one of my all-time favorite watches, actually I have two that I like to watch every Christmas. Even if I only get to watch one Christmas movie a year, it's got to be Bill Murray's Scrooged for me.
You know, and I'm on the opposite side of that fence, and I'm probably one of three people. I watched it last year because, I don't know, I'm usually not a Christmas spirit kind of guy, but, you know, the wife and I were enjoying watching some Christmas movies, and that was one of them. And we both just weren't super into it. Like, I thought it was good, but maybe it was missing that supporting cast that makes Bill Murray really excellent. They weren't in that movie, but it didn't resonate with me too much.
And what else? Christmas Vacation is another favorite of mine. You know, I don't really like the vacation movies, but I like that one. You know, it's the only one.
True.
It just, everything worked in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
For me, even though it was all the same National Lampoon's humor, just everything kind of comes together in that movie in the right way.
I think it's super relatable because it comes from that time period where it was okay to accept that families were dysfunctional, and it was kind of the first holiday movie to really show you how freaking horrible it is to have all your family.
Oh, there's certainly one of it. Oh, yeah. Was Christmas Story before that one?
Christmas Story is
83.
Yeah. Speaking of dysfunctional Christmas families, that one...
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. That one I've seen a number of times. I'm still... I don't know. I think I enjoy it, but it's one of those ones that's not my staple.
No, that one doesn't... I know it's a lot of people's favorites. I don't connect with it. Not, I don't connect with it either.
Yeah. I remember the lamp.
Yeah, the leg lamp. That's all I really remember about it, too.
But yeah, that one I don't connect with too much either. Even National Lampoon's. Yeah, I don't watch a lot of the live action Christmas themed ones, but we did watch National Lampoon's. You know, honestly, probably the greatest Christmas, modern Christmas movie ever made was Jingle All the Way. You can shit on that movie all you want, but watch it again and you will love it.
The Arnold. It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah.
Tom Arnold is just a lecherous piece of shit.
I can't
in that movie.
Speak of the sequel though. I saw
I haven't.
That's sitting on Netflix now. Like, I don't think
Isn't that Larry the Cable?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
how do you go from charming Arnold Schwarzenegger and top of his game Sinbad to Larry the Cable Guy?
I don't know.
Like,
somebody lost a bet.
You can go a lot of places in sequels where you're like, oh, this is what happened now.
Yeah. And you don't see a lot of Christmas themed movies get sequelized, but there are Christmas movies like set around
that
time.
That are part of a
Home genre. Alone happens around Christmas time, the first Home Alone, and that was a huge franchise for a while. So
yeah, Childhood Abandonment.
Yes, which is always...
Tie your franchise on that.
Yeah, which is, it's always
isn't
a good
isn't it fun
time.
When we leave minors alone?
It is if it's Macaulay Culkin.
They worked in reality physics rather than the cartoon physics of the world they existed in. He would have murdered those guys several times over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like some of that stuff is just like, that's a little... Like, I can watch it now and be like, that's pretty violent. Like, that's a bad booby trap.
Yeah, like, I could just see that child grown up now and...
Oh, sociopathic behavior.
Yeah, he's Dexter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably what happened. Like, Dexter was Kevin, and, like, Kevin was like, my parents didn't care about me. Oh, my God, I bet you Kevin killed his own parents.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I mean, didn't they leave
Christmas? The Christmas episode here just got a dark turn. Yeah.
That was one I wanted to watch last year during our Christmas movie quest, and just didn't have a copy of it, and it wasn't streaming or anything, so...
Yeah.
See, I'm surprised that wouldn't be streaming and it would be hard to find a copy.
Yeah, it's always on, so.
Well,
yeah, you just have to turn to the right channel at the right time and you will find it.
I don't have any channels.
Yeah, I think those are my top two. I mean, there are certain action movies I like to watch at Christmas time that happen at Christmas.
Die Hard.
And Lethal Weapon.
Is Lethal Weapon a Christmas movie?
Yeah, Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie. The first one.
Because people don't think of it that way because it's California
it's
and they have no snow. But... Yeah, it happens at Christmas time, and your first major scene with Mel Gibson is at that tree lot.
Well, it's the same type of deal with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, also L.A., also Christmas.
Which is a great underrated movie. So.
Yeah, crazy.
Mel Cameron, what was his name? He was Gay Larry or something like that.
I'm like, sorry, I don't remember. It's been a while for me, so.
Yeah,
it's not an every Christmas watch
it's
for
a
me.
Pretty, it's a pretty good movie. I watch it if you have a chance.
Yeah. And, you know, the Harry Potter movies have some nice Christmas sequences because they happen over a span of a year. So you seem to see every holiday that they celebrate during those movies. So.
Yeah, the first half at least.
Yeah.
See, like, that's some of these movies. Like, you can, I don't know, sometimes I'll watch a movie where Christmas occurs within the movie.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's, you know, I think that's part of Christmas is how much do you want to get out of, you know, like, just some acknowledgement that it happens at Christmas. Great. That's fine. Sometimes that's just enough, you know.
Or just a winter movie. Like, it's not a Christmas movie, but I enjoy, I think it was Beautiful Girls, 1994 movie. It takes place during a high school reunion, but it's like very winter, very kind of the middle of winter type of movie, and I just really enjoy it.
Well, before we skip past Christmas Vacation, I have a favorite clip here that I want to run.
This is everyone's favorite.
Everybody's favorite clip. We were talking about it, and we were almost skipped by it, and I'm not going to skip by it because it's awesome.
Hey, if any of you are looking for any last minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Love that scene. Love it, love it,
so
love
good.
It. You know, out of all the Chevy Chase movies I have seen, that's easily the most memorable best. Scene out of every film. And you know, let's face it, it's Chevy Chase. They're not great movies.
Yeah, he's probably the best he ever was during that movie.
Yeah, I think out of all the vacation movies, to me, that's the best vacation movie.
Yeah, everything works in that particular scene.
Yeah. Like,
or right. just that movie in
yeah,
general.
Everybody in
the
that
movie itself is really strong, all of it.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough heart to it, like, whereas, like, his Randy Quaid's kids, they're like, well, we won't know if Santa's going to find us. Like, just heartbreaking.
Everything's really weird and dysfunctional like it usually is in those movies, but...
There's a heart to it that it's not really reflected in some of the other movies.
Interesting, because the vacation movies are always road movies, and then everybody's coming to them in that movie. And for some reason, it works. We never really get to see the Griswolds at home for very long, so...
No.
And the competitive nature of Christmas for Chevy Chase in that movie is also funny, because just the amount of lights he puts on the house, it's just such a big deal for him. And then that scene where he's counting on this big Christmas bonus to really make it special for the family. And it really is a story about him trying too hard.
And it's not even a big part of the movie, but do you remember, like, there's that couple that live next door and like the lights just blind them? They're not even a major part of the story, but they're just like the assholes next door.
Super like 80s chic couple with their like trendy house. And
yeah.
Things like
they're minimalists.
Wasn't that Elaine from Friends?
No, Elaine from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Got the wrong NBC
Julia
show.
Louise Dreyfus.
Yes.
Yeah, and then some guy, I don't know who it is.
Just coming off Troll, probably. I think it's around the same time.
Oh, nice.
That's right. She was in Troll.
Nice.
You know,
you ever see there was a horror movie called Elves? I think it was a Christmas
thing. I've never seen it.
I saw a trailer of it when I was looking around, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, we may have to cover that one day.
Yeah. I have not heard about that one.
We'll get Trish on it, because, again, it's another hard to find.
Okay.
Movie. Yeah.
But I remember seeing it at the rental stores, but I never.
Yeah, I always thought it was part of the Trolls thing.
You just stayed away after two. You're like, well, we're done.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of those movies at that time, and none of them particularly did well.
Can you imagine if like the guys who are doing Elves are like, well, they've got these Trolls one, but it's different. It's Elves. We'll be fine. And
totally
then people get confused.
One's in an apartment building. It's totally different. I really like the cat getting fried with the Christmas lights.
Oh my god, yes.
It's
really funny. The squirrel in the tree is really funny. And Grandpa Lewis is William Hickey, the actor.
Right. Yeah.
And William Hickey plays the voice of the professor in another non-contemporary Christmas classic, A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I love A Nightmare Before Christmas.
So. Yeah, and that's the one of those
6 degrees of William Hickey.
That's right, and that's another classic that I kind of like to watch right around the period where we're recording this, because it'll be a little closer to Christmas when people hear it. But you know, that zone, that November time, it's after Halloween, but coming up to Christmas, and that's where you have to watch that movie.
Yeah,
that,
it's where
in between
it
time,
in. I've
and
always
that's where
considered
it, falls,
it a Christmas movie. I know a lot of people. It's a Halloween movie. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. That's why it has Christmas in the title.
And they are working on a live action version of that movie.
Oh,
so
that's
we'll actually get to cover this at some point on the show.
Yeah, I don't know if you can capture the magic with
I don't
live
know.
Action.
Stage show? Well, maybe.
Disney's a musical.
Disney's going a little nuts with this. Let's remake all of our favorites as live action features. We just saw it with Cinderella.
Maleficent.
Yeah,
and
but Maleficent was
Alice in Wonderland.
Maleficent, not quite. It's not even
not
close
really.
To Sleeping Beauty story.
I really
like nice,
Maleficent.
Though. I like the change to it. It makes more sense.
I did not like Alice in Wonderland. It might as well stayed animated because it was.
And yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one either.
No.
I enjoyed it. I like Helena Bonham Carter with a giant head.
Yeah, and the Snow. none of the Snow White movies were good. I don't care who did them.
I didn't watch
Snow
either
White,
of those.
A Tale of Terror from the 90s, starring Sigourney Weaver's Evil Queen, Sam Neill as the king.
Oh, I totally forgot about that one.
Oh, I got to watch that one now.
That movie. Have it on Laserdisc.
Cool. We'll do a screening.
Movie. Yeah, we should. I love that movie. It's so good. Yeah. But not Christmas related.
So, yeah, I'm guessing that Nightmare Before Christmas will be for next year for anybody who's looking for it. So.
Terrible. That's not going to be good.
To talk to why we do this podcast, sometimes you shouldn't be remaking stuff for the sake of remaking it. Like, sometimes it's really good and just sometimes leave alone.
Yeah. Like, would you do a remake of Christmas Vacation? You couldn't do it.
No.
You couldn't remake
You could,
Stripe.
But it wouldn't be good. I don't think
really
you capture that magic.
Recapture it again, because there was a certain amount, it comes down to just the chemistry of the actors, and that's hard to replicate where everything's clicking.
Yeah, I wonder if that rant by Chevy Chase is like all ad-libbed or if it was scripted. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I don't know either, but
my guess is ad-libbed,
so good.
Because of their sketch show. He was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah, he was on SNL, so, you know.
But SNL is scripted. You just have cue cards.
It is.
That's why they're always looking slightly off camera.
Unless you're watching that episode with Pee Wee Herman where they have find the mice in the Coke bottle. I don't know if you've ever seen that episode. He's on SNL, and he's the worst. Like, he drops his lines, and he's always staring at the camera. It was really bad.
Yeah, but that you get that all the time in SNL.
He has an awesome Christmas special that stars freaking everybody. Oprah Winfrey is in it. Phil Hartman.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Pee Wee.
What's her name? Oh, that big, tall, black singer. She's a very masculine feature. She was in a Bond movie.
Grace Jones.
In it.
I wouldn't give her masculine features, but when you said Bond movie, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, man, like, it's so crazy. He has an awesome Christmas special. It was on Netflix for a while.
Well, to be fair, wasn't Lawrence Fishburne on Pee Wee's Playhouse?
Yeah, he was a mainstay, though.
He's got great people on his shows.
Okay, I don't
know
if anybody...
He never misses.
I don't know if anybody in this room has seen it. I haven't, but I've seen pieces of it. But the bootleg circuit will probably know Star Wars Christmas special.
I have seen it.
Yeah, it ran on TV. I remember it on TV.
I never saw it on television, so I missed it.
I don't know if Christmas I did end up seeing it.
Because it only ran once.
Yeah, it was... Oh, like,
saying it's not canon?
No.
I don't think it is.
I think you know what I think would be the perfect way to watch that one?
We did
one?
Get the droids cartoon out of that. So.
Yeah, that's true. I love the droids cartoon. That was great. Yeah. I think the ultimate way to watch that is to try and get a bootleg copy of it, then sit down, have like a handful of mushrooms, and then just watch it like that. Then it will make sense to you.
Maybe. I don't remember
the
diet.
There's a part with Diane Carroll, and it's like very 80s, you know, kind of silhouette superseded over a bunch of other stuff.
It was this weird Star Wars
it was a variety show. Basically, the concept kind of behind it was like Chewbacca's family were waiting for him to come home for like, oh God, I can't remember. It was something
Wookiee
day. It wasn't really called Wookiee Christmas. It was called like Forest Day or something like that. It wasn't even the same, but it was like Christmas. You gave presents and all this other stuff. And they had like people with their like cameos where they call in. And it was a bizarre mess, but it's a bizarre mess that is actually quite enjoyable because it's just so terrible. If you can, like, I enjoyed it better than The Phantom Menace.
Oh,
well. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I hated The Phantom Menace.
So yeah, George, if you're listening, which you probably aren't, you know, disowning it. It exists. You can't hide it anymore.
It's better than anything that came after.
You know what?
Return of the Jedi.
Just throw it out as an extra feature somewhere on one of the on your big Star Wars set somewhere, because it is a fascinating.
It's
anomaly.
A beautiful mess. It's a beautiful, beautiful mess.
I noticed the Ewoks movies have kind of disappeared as well, and I quite enjoyed those.
Yeah, that's too bad. I really used to like those movies, at least the first one.
Yeah, I liked both of them, really. They had a fairy tale quality to them.
Second one, definitely, with the evil witch and the wolf creature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, it's hard to talk about that. I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah.
I know
I didn't see it not that long ago, and it was, it's...
I know I saw the animated bit with Boba Fett, so that's, I remember that. That's all I really remember. That's the most significant amount of Boba Fett I think I ever saw on screen at the time.
I know, right?
I don't know why everybody thinks he's a tough ass. Like, him and Jango all died because of rocket failure.
I know. Yeah, like you, if you really kind of theoretically stand back and look at Boba Fett, he's not good.
They're
at
both
job.
Clumsy assassins. Yeah. And yeah, bounty hunters.
He looks cool.
There are better bounty hunters than Boba Fett.
Yeah,
and least, I still like Boba Fett.
I'm like, yeah, you work, you make sure all your guns are working, but nobody ever does maintenance on the jetpack.
He's like the only one in the whole universe who has one.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like.
Yeah,
it.
You'd think he'd look into that, right? You're talking about, I came across another one that I was kind of looking through because I was trying to remember another one that sort of, you know, encompasses like that feel good feeling at While You Were Sleeping.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I love that one. I don't know why.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, Sandra Bullock, Bill Pullman. She is a girl. Her father's dead. She's like alone in the world. And Peter Gallagher is this guy she kind of has a crush on who comes through her stall. Like she works for Chicago Transit and he falls on the tracks and she saves him and then tells like a little lie, like a little misunderstanding was that she's his fiance. And then she meets his family and like he's in a coma this whole entire time. And then she meets his family and his family just like welcomes her in and like, you know, yeah, they just show her all this love. And then she meets Bill Pullman, who's like his brother, Peter's brother. And they sort of, you know, kind of have a little kind of meet cute, start their own romance. It's really, it's a nice movie. It's good.
Never heard.
Take your word for it.
You should watch it. I'm recommending you both watch it.
Well, thank you for that recommendation.
It's a good movie.
Recommendation noted.
It's a good Christmas movie. Filed. It is a good Christmas movie.
This filed week. Away in circular file 13.
There's some great actors in it. You're missing out.
Unless Sandra Bullock's floating around in space in a panic.
No.
It's also, thinking of Nightmare Before Christmas and, like, dark Christmas movies, there's the classic dark comedy with Dennis Leary.
The Ref. Yep.
The Ref.
The Ref is awesome. All I remember is the cat pee safe.
Oh, yeah.
What smells like cat pee? Shut up.
Shut up.
That's a really funny, like, rapid-fire dark comedy and, like, dysfunctional family Christmas, and he's caught up in the middle, and yeah, it's a good time.
Some of the best lines I love from that movie is, like, going, how come we can both be in this marriage, and I'm miserable, and you're content? And Kevin Spacey's like, luck? Like, it's a dark movie, but I enjoy the darkness of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun oddball Christmas movie that people forget takes place during Christmas.
Yeah, like, and he's, like, Dennis Leary, as he was playing, like,
Cat burglar, pretending
to be a therapist.
Yeah. I don't think he was pretending to be a therapist?
He was pretending to be a therapist because the family all came over for Christmas and they have to pretend and he's trying to get out of there, but they don't want to get caught. It's good.
When are we going to get an Avengers Christmas? You think that'll be the tail end of Civil War?
Well, you know, if we see something like that on screen or on television, we know that trend is over.
For sure. Yeah, we'll know the last Avengers movie has been made when we see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Christmas, they fight Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's a common theme in comics. You always get those, like, every once in a while, especially in the 80s, there's all the comic book covers where, like, Santa has a gun. You know, there's like at least there's for sure a Spider-Man, there's a Punisher.
There's always a villain.
Wait, so why are they fighting against Santa Claus or with Santa Claus?
Oh, the Lobo paramilitary Christmas special. Yeah. Holy shit.
Okay, I'm gonna need some information.
He is hired by the Easter Bunny. That Lobo's hired by the Easter Bunny to go after Santa Claus, who, him and his elves are like a small army in and of themselves. They're pretty tough bastards.
To be true, they are kind of paramilitary.
It is brutal. Nicely drawn grisliness by Simon Beasley. Yeah, Simon Beasley. And it's grisly. It's elf guts and everything all over the place. It's brutal.
That reminds me of another movie. Sorry. There's a whole bunch. Like, you know how we talked about our classic ones? They mostly happen in the 70s and 60s. I'm just wondering, like, if there's any new ones that came up. And this one might be one of my ones that I watch all the time. Arthur Christmas. I enjoyed that one.
I have yet to see it.
I haven't seen it.
But it is, it's basically like all the elves are very like militaristic. They come down, there's a giant ship that Santa has, and there's like thousands and thousands of elves as they come down from the ship to like deposit all the gifts. And like,
that was a CG animated one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's Santa Claus.
I'll see if that's not streaming right now.
There's, and Arthur Christmas is the younger brother, and then like he has his older brother who wears like camo and like runs a tight ship. Right. It's really good.
Isn't there one where it's like Vince Vaughn and Paul Giamatti?
Oh, Fred Claus.
Yeah. Anybody ever watched that?
I watched a bit of it.
Not if I can help it.
I know, with an all-star cast like that, how could you say no?
I love Paul Giamatti, but there are just some places I don't
want to go. I think there was a limit to it. I think it was. It's a good concept, but I don't know. It was not executed properly.
And
like, the fact that Santa has a brother.
Those are the kind of things we look at remakes.
True. Exactly. Like, the fact Santa having a brother, of course, it makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, he'd feel less than... he didn't measure up. Of course he would.
Yeah. He gets, like, Secretary's Day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Every secretary on the planet gets a fruit basket.
We could do as a movie, like the play that we did when I was in grade 8, which was great. The Ghostbusters Save Christmas. Santa Claus gets kidnapped by ghosts, and we save him.
Yeah, I always wondered why they didn't do a Christmas Ghostbusters movie where it was like Ghost of Christmas Present and Past. Oh, F you, yeah. You're going in the box.
Well, they did that episode in the TV series.
Oh, I guess they did, didn't
yeah.
they? Yeah.
Where they capture the Ghost of Christmas Past, I think.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
Like, they catch him, and then it throws everything off because they've, you know, Ghostbusters logic transported to, like, Scrooge time.
Yeah. Right.
Which, of course, in their universe isn't a story. It actually happened. And so Scrooge doesn't learn. I think Scrooge is, like, distantly related to Peter or something.
They yeah.
have a screwy episode, yeah. but there for sure is a Christmas episode.
Actually, I'm probably the only one in the room whoever watches these every year. But every year, the BBC puts out the Doctor Who Christmas specials, and they're always awesome and wonderful.
Nice. I haven't watched a Doctor Who Christmas special, but I did watch, I was showing Jeff, David Tennant being the Ghost of Christmas Present in a Catherine Tate Christmas special.
Oh, that's nice payback.
Oh, he's amazing in that.
Well. Yeah, it's pretty funny. He's all like Maud and like...
He's Maud and Jesse's camp and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. He's doing a great job on Jessica Jones right now. I got two more episodes to go on Netflix, but no Christmas stuff happening in there.
Yeah, it looks very dark. I haven't seen it yet. I want to do that.
It's dark. It's awesome if you like Daredevil. I actually think I might actually like this show more than Daredevil, which, you know, says is pretty high praise because I thought Daredevil was very well made. So
nice.
Yeah, although I can see on Jeff's face because I've been watching him post on Facebook and it lost him somewhere along the way.
It's a different episode for later. But yeah, no, yeah. Daredevil, I'll just say that Daredevil suffers what I think all television suffers from, and they tend to drag the story a bit to stretch it through their allotted episodes.
There's a little bit happening that with Jessica Jones as well.
Yeah, and that's my worry with that show. Like, Daredevil lost Heather about halfway through when I thought it started to pick up a little steam, but they still drug their feet through some stuff that just was unnecessary. Like, I actually would love to get a hold of the episodes and cut it down into a 2.5-3 hour movie, and I think you wouldn't lose anything in the 13 episodes. There's just a lot of fluff that they don't need. And my one complaint with it is the Kingpin. I know people are like, oh, I loved to see him grow into a monster and blah, blah, blah. No, he was always a monster all the time, forever, through the whole show. He was always a horrible person. Everything he did was horrible. And then he gets shacked up with this broad, Vanessa, and she's turning into a monster. So he's just horrible through the whole arc. There was never a, oh, maybe he's a good guy. Never once. He was always a bad guy.
That could start a whole conversation.
A whole conversation.
But yeah.
I just felt that was a little lacking.
I always thought he was a lot like most people in early dates. He doesn't act like himself. But
totally.
It doesn't change who he is.
No, and he kind of had maybe, like, the beginnings of a multiple personality thing that they were trying to do. And I don't know if it's just, oh my god, Vincent D'Onofrio, like, just as an actor, like, I really like him.
Yeah.
And I love how he's a chameleon and looks different in every role. And he really looks like the Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely moments where, like, you're like, holy shit, he, like, is totally the comic book Kingpin. But I just felt there was, like, some alluded to forced growth in that character that didn't exist. Like, it wasn't on there. Like, when I posted on Facebook, and of course everybody comes after me because I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was the best thing ever. And all their arguments are like, did you watch it? Because that isn't in there. You think it is.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're trying to do.
You know, the people
but they
start,
don't actually do
yeah,
it.
People start believing what isn't on screen. And that's
the
problem. You go in with a lot of preconceptions, and then you all those ideas and things from
you extrapolate
comic books
more
and everything
than
else, it starts merging into one thought. And
I love how they give credit to, like, Bill Everett, who, of course, co-created Daredevil. But in the credits, but that isn't the Daredevil we're watching. We're obviously watching the 80s Miller dark.
Oh yeah, that stuff is owes everything to Frank Miller, so.
Totally. But anyway, yeah. There was not a Christmas episode in that whole show.
No, but you know, I'll segue that into Frank Miller wrote a really great Batman Christmas story prior to Dark Knight Returns. So, I'll just start bringing it back around.
Yeah.
And now that I've mentioned that, I won't mention it again. Cuz this is not our comic book, podcast. We subjected you to too much of that last week. So,
it's just a lot of Christmas gets worked into everything.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's everybody, because it is such a major seasonal holiday and it is so commercial well, that it's just hard to get around. Even, you know, you do it a theme thing. And knowing Jeff, he probably prefers the horror movie versions of Christmas stuff. So
I don't go out of my way, to be honest, to watch Christmas anything other than Rudolph, of course, which is probably like the most traditional Christmassy thing you can watch, aside from like maybe Miracle on 34th Street or It's a Wonderful Life.
FYI, which one is one I haven't watched? Is it a Wonderful Life? No.
Jimmy Stewart?
I think I tried, but I think, like I say, it's you gotta ride through a whole bunch of terrible things to get to the good part.
It truly is a wonderful life. Yeah, he's really good in Rear Window.
Yeah, Christmas saves the guy from suicide? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, does it? I think he kills himself and then
I don't remember.
The spirits of Christmas maybe bring him back, or maybe he gets to heaven. I don't know. That movie could be a lot darker than we think it is.
What kind of legend is that?
Yeah, like his life is so terrible.
It doesn't redeem him at all. He still could commit suicide. And then he's like, nah, we'll bring you back. You learned your lesson. No, you didn't learn anything.
No.
You learned nothing. You learned still no consequences.
You fucker.
There's no consequences.
Yeah.
The biggest Christmas horror movie I can think of is Black Christmas.
Yes.
Especially because it is now Canadian and is also considered to be the original slasher movie. Like, they say that it was before Halloween, before Friday.
Was Black Christmas before?
It did come out before
1970, I think.
I think it's debatable because it isn't truly a slasher movie in my eyes.
You don't see as much
Lacey,
as you do in
if
regular
you listen
ones.
To this, I know you're going to jump down my throat about this, but I don't know if it really truly is the original slasher. But so there's that one. There's Silent Night,
Deadly Night
with Linnea Quigley. She gets impaled on the antlers.
Yeah.
That one like is a Christmas slasher because the psycho guy dresses up like Santa because Santa like killed
had
his mom.
Sex with his and mom boy, or something like that.
That movie back in the day was really controversial because they are showing Santa Claus in the trailers in a very negative light, killing people and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was banned.
Sequels.
Yeah, it was banned in theaters and pulled from markets. It had
a name change.
In a way, I think it might have been the closeout, beginning of the closeout to the slasher genre at the time.
Mm-hmm. I would say that one's probably the most notorious Christmas slasher.
Yeah.
There's like some modern ones like Santa Slays with Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
We watched that last Christmas.
It was so good.
Or was it Christmas? Was it even Christmas? I think it was midsummer.
Yeah, it might have been midsummer. But yeah, like watching that one. What's funny about that one I love is because I know it was like filmed in Alberta in like around Edmonton area. And I'm like going, yeah, I know where that is. I know where that, like watching them film. I'm like, I've driven down that road. I know where they are.
Campy and terrible. And
but you know what? With enough of a budget,
I think
it could be wonderful.
You know, I'd like to see the Bill Goldberg one in the Grant Morrison comic book movie adaption that we were talking about earlier, Claus. Like, you need a big badass
that movie's
Santa Claus.
Gained quite some legs in the cult world right now.
I can see why.
There's a lot of people who really...
I can see why.
Like, you know, our mutual friend Roy watches it all the time, like randomly.
I thought it was a TV thing until we saw topless broads in there, because they're not really swearing in there, and then you see the topless girls, and I'm like, maybe this was TV cable thing?
It was direct
it's that
video.
Opening scene. The opening scene makes it look like a TV movie.
It looks so TV, and maybe that's on purpose to look like a cheesy Christmas special on television?
Yeah, maybe. But it does it looks like a TV movie.
Yeah, until Santa
from top
Claus
to bottom.
Starts raging on everybody. I guess the typical, in that movie, Santa Claus has been doing the delivering and stuff to kids as penance for his crimes. And that particular year it's up. He's out of jail.
Yeah, he's been in like 1,000 years or something like that.
Yeah, so he's out of jail now, and that's it. I'm going to go on a killing spree this Christmas.
Yeah, you got to love that.
Which is way different than the Psycho in a Santa suit, which is typically in the slasher genre. So now I was thinking, when you mentioned TV movie, I thought of the TV version of this, but it actually did appear in a movie first. The original Tales from the Crypt movie from the 70s.
Yes.
Opens with the incredibly classic, the Santa episode. I can't remember what it's called now, but like where the psycho guy is out there and, you know, they're like isolated house and he breaks in and like the girl knows that Santa's there and it's the mom fighting this crazed guy dressed as Santa with an axe and murders the boyfriend and all this stuff. And then they remade it for the first episode of the TV series in the 90s.
Yeah, with a slight different. I think the Tales from the Crypt movie, it's like she'd killed the man and then was
That's
dead.
Right.
And then so like there's the evil psychopath. And in Tales from the Crypt, the TV show, like it's her and her son, but her son thinks it's Santa Claus. So it's, I let Santa in. Like that's how he gets in the house because the kid thinks it's freaking Santa. And it's Larry. Oh, God, what's his name? He was on L.A. Law. He was in Darkman. What was his name?
It was somebody fairly big who played Santa in the...
Yeah, like the mentally deranged Santa.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. Super classic anyway, and was in a movie, part of a movie. There's a Christmas... Is there a Christmas part in Creepshow? Or is that...
Oh.
Thanksgiving?
Maybe in one of the Creepshows.
Yeah, not the first one. I don't think it's the first.
Definitely not the first one.
That's the one that I kind of still remember most of. It's the second one I haven't seen as often as the first one.
Yeah, and then there's the third one, which don't even bother.
Yeah.
There's a third
There's a Creepshow 3.
Really?
Crazy. Unrelated, I
And but no, that's what you should never hear about it. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have protected you both from this. I feel bad now.
I hate it when somebody just buys the name to a franchise. I mean, we saw what that did to Troll. House was another franchise I quite liked, and then when it got away from
the first
from
House
it,
movie was so good.
Like it goes House
Love
1, 2,
it.
3, and then 4, I don't know what the hell happened to 4 because it skipped to 5 and 5 was seemed to be completely unrelated and I don't know, there could be more that I'm unaware of.
Yeah, there could be House 10, we don't know.
Yeah,
I love John Ratzenberger's character in House 2. It's the best.
I gotta rewatch those.
The electrician and
those early House movies are a lot of fun.
Yeah, well that's because it was that comedy horror, which is, I think, it's always a winning combination.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of more horror Christmas movies, but none. Oh, there's like
Jack Frost movie.
Is Chopping Mall? No, that's regular year, isn't it?
I don't know
what time that. Yeah,
I just think shopping. Chopping Mall.
It would be most effective at Christmas.
Oh, for sure, Chopping Mall at Christmas would be great.
Oh, one of the biggest horror comedy Christmas movies ever made.
Gremlins.
And a must Gremlins. Watch for me is Gremlins every year. Yeah.
I'd agree with that one. Gremlins is such a classic, and I think a lot of people forget that it's a Christmas movie, but it is. It's totally a Christmas movie.
He gets Gizmo for Christmas.
I think wasn't
it? I did get some like Gizmo toys for Christmas.
I believe it was a summer release, wasn't it? I don't believe it was released around
remember.
Christmas.
Yeah, I was a little too young, but it may have been.
But you see Gizmo and like the little Santa
hat. It didn't
hat.
Seem to hurt its legacy either way. So.
Yeah, and then there's like that dark story that Phoebe Cates tells about her dad getting stuck in the chimney and dying.
Yeah, and they just glance over it.
Well, yeah, that's brilliant. It's great because they don't really. She has this really long soliloquy about it, and then it never really. It's just
it doesn't go anywhere.
You're supposed to get sympathy for it, and then you get to Gremlins 2, where she starts telling the story again, and everybody just kind of tunes her out.
Yeah,
and does something else.
Well, I did tell you
it
when
cuts
I went to,
away.
It was released
I went
in
to
June.
That's what I thought.
It was a summer movie. Yeah.
That's what I was telling you. Like when I went to that whole day, all night horror movie thing, I stayed until the part in Gremlins 2 where Christopher Lee gets killed, and then I was done. I just went home because that's as far as you need to go in Gremlins 2.
Now I know.
I love that movie.
I love that movie too. Like we could do a whole episode on what I think about Gremlins,
and we might do that because apparently it's being remade.
It is not. They are making a sequel.
They killed it. Okay, good. Yeah. I'd rather a sequel. It makes more sense to me.
It is a
so.
Gremlins 3. Apparently, I don't know if Joe Dante is in with the project, but he should be.
Yeah, that's a much better way to go. So I agree.
And I've almost lost my movie. Oh, it's winter themed. Possibly starts at Christmas. Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah, it's a good Christmas one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it does. And that's also another one where it's kind of hard to tell because it's sort of that L.A. suburbs. And, like, what he partially does is, like, he cuts up the ice to make it snow. for Christmas.
Yeah, but I think he gets his,
those eight sculptures.
He's supposed to get his, like, hands at Christmas. And then, of course, he, like, you know, scissors them or whatever. And then Vincent Price dies, and we move on from there. But, yeah, I think it started it. Starts and ends at Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
What I remember. It's been a while. I should watch that movie. I love that movie.
Because, yeah, like, remember the very end, Winona, a very old Winona Ryder is telling her grandchildren about, like, how he does this, so now that's why it snows every Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there you go. There's lots of Christmas in movies you forget.
Yeah, and that's just it. There's so many, and you have a favorite, and then you don't realize, oh, wait, it's also a Christmas movie.
Another one.
It's not always shoved down your throat.
That we had discussed, but we had none. Trading Places.
Oh, yeah, Trading Places. Which, you know, that movie's kind of been remade a few times.
True,
not officially, but yeah, Trading Places is another great one. And it's got that all those sentimental tropes, you know, being in somebody else's shoes and learning those lessons.
For
that,
sure.
You know, from one side of the fence and the other side of the fence. So, yeah, Trading Places, Eddie Murphy. So
Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. I just remember Dan Aykroyd dressed as a Santa, like pulling something out of his beard and like just eating it, but like the hair from the beard getting in it still makes me nauseous to this day.
Yeah, you're holding back a gag there.
I know, it's like it's dark.
As we make gagging noises.
You know, Silent Night, Deadly Night was remade.
Yes, as Was it just Silent Night?
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, very recently.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Christmas horror movies to see if I had forgot any, but we touched on almost all of them, except the Munsters, Scary Little Christmas. Other than that.
Oh, I have to watch that. Yeah. I've not seen that.
No, I haven't seen that one either, but, and you know, all our favorite TV shows probably had Christmas episodes or whatever. Like I said, the ones that I always liked were the cartoons. And
that's my preference.
Yeah. Back in the old VHS days, too, around Christmas time, I actually made a cassette full of Christmas episodes. And it'd be a mix of the cartoon Christmas specials at the time and then the ones from the animated series at the time. So I wish I still had that, but it was great just to watch all that. And we're like, all right, now next one up is the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Oh my God, I forgot they did those.
Is that the one where Skeletor has the puppy?
Yes, that's the one.
That is a deep cut. That is a deep cut.
No, you just need to YouTube Skeletor puppy and it will come up. And it is the greatest 30 or 40 seconds of your life.
Yeah, well, the thing's only 22 minutes, so you might as well watch the whole damn thing.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Where they offer to take it away and carry it. And he's like, nah, and like walks off. I don't know, it's funny. Yeah.
Watching a skeleton emote
cuddle
and
a
all
puppy.
Is always hilarious. Mm.
Well, it's weird. He's not really a skeleton. Like, if you think of him... There's no rib cage under here. There's like
just
muscles.
His head is
a skeleton.
But it's still a moat.
Sorcery accident. So
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
It's all right. Yeah, you'll get
like,
over it.
Like he's Skeletor, but like just in the face.
I always love when.
I like getting Skeletored in the face.
Just got Skeletor. Just got Skeletor in the face, everybody.
Red Skull can start a club, I guess. And the Atomic Skull from DC.
And Taskmaster.
Taskmaster, yeah. There's a whole bunch. I love when shows like He-Man and like Ghostbusters and like oddball shows do a Christmas episode.
Yeah, because it's so weird. Like, yeah, they always stick out like a sore thumb. They just don't make any sense. And it's usually got to soften the bad guy or the. In case of Batman, the guys that are so humbuggy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm too busy to celebrate Christmas. I don't do emotions.
Yeah. Lex Luthor family Christmas. Yeah. Be awesome.
It was nice of you to save Relay, Mr. Skeletor.
I am not nice.
Oh, stop that.
Do you want me to hold him?
No, no, we'll go faster if I carry him. But tell me more about this Christmas.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. Everyone has lots of fun.
You mean they get in fights?
No, they have fun.
Fights are fun. I like fights.
And you give each other presents.
And when you open them, they explode, right?
No, they're nice gifts.
Nice? Doesn't sound like much fun to me. A snow beast. Quick, get behind me. So much for the snow beast.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Skeletor. You saved us. You really are wonderful.
Listen, I am not nice, I am not kind, and I am not wonderful. And I'm still delivering you to Hordrime.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's so weird. They like it, there's a whole trend. I think a lot of shows still do Christmas episodes. Like, they'll just do the odd Christmas ones where there's just a miracle. Just a miracle just occurs here and there. Like, I think even House has a few Christmas episodes.
Yeah, well, Futurama every year did one from the first one.
The Simpsons did.
Well, you know, Simpsons did it often. They were more memorable for the Halloween specials.
Was the Simpsons pilot a Christmas episode?
Yeah, Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah, Santa's Little Helper. It was, it was a Christmas special. So, you know, and Simpsons became known for the Halloween Treehouse of Horrors.
Yeah.
But Futurama was taking Christmas because it was the killer robot.
Yeah. Well, Simpsons still has one of the best ones. I still watch it to this day is the one with Funzo, where they have Funzo the robot. Like what's happened is like Springfield Elementary has to close because it has no money. But then this marketing company takes it over and asks the children what they want for Christmas and build the ultimate toy called Funzo. And Funzo is like a weird robot thing that will destroy other toys.
And so they realize that it's evil.
So Lisa and Homer and Bart go all around town to gather up the Funzos to dispose of them. And like Gary Coleman works at the marketing company, so he finds them before they're getting rid of the Funzos.
I do remember this, yeah. And they had to sneak by him.
Yes, and the Simpsons and Gary Coleman talked long into the night. And eventually they realized that there's like the commercialization of Christmas was also a danger. It might also be a mixed blessing. Like it just goes into a weird place.
Love the Invader Zim episode where Zim creates the Santa suit
because
he's trying to like, what does it do? It like increases jolliness or some insane thing, and it starts like taking him over and becomes like this entity, and they're all sitting in like a dome city at the end of the show, and like some kids have a robot arm or whatever, and then like the Santa monster is like,
Invader Zim might be coming back to television, guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess there's been some talks with Nickelodeon recently, so.
The guy who voices Zim's voice recovered, and he can do some more episodes?
I don't know. Yeah. I hope so.
For, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's TV's starting to do remakes, guys. That's what's happening now.
Well, Nickelodeon, like.
We need to do our TV remake show.
Nickelodeon really does go back to the well a lot, so.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that they're looking at that because it really became a cult television. And
for sure.
Cult television is fairly rare, like because it hits long after the shows are gone. And it just makes me wonder, going back to the well on Twin Peaks, whether people will care anymore or not.
It's weird. I think it would be hard to capture the magic of it. Like a lot of the stuff I watched in the 90s that was weird and offbeat and independent. I liked it because, like, that was, to me, that was the 90s. I don't know if we're back to that era yet where, like, we're weird and quirky. And off, it's hipster. That's not 90s weird and quirky offbeat.
Oh, just the fact that you put a name to it and called it hipsters television, that scares the shit out of me.
It's true.
Yeah,
but the thing is,
not wrong.
The 90s, the 90s was quirky in its own way, but it wasn't hipster quirky in its own way. It was just a dysphoric realization about like just society at the time. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
The hipsters don't have that. They ironically believe they know what's wrong with the world and they don't know and they don't care.
Yeah, in the case of like Twin Peaks, it was before its time, and now I think it's long past it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still don't think the timing's right for that to bring it back, and I don't think it'll be successful again. I hope it is just as strange and quirky, though, and maybe in and of itself it'll also be remembered. But yeah, I don't know if you can go back to that one particular well so long after it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't dig it the first time around. What? So
I didn't mind it. I liked it.
I came in so late to that, like, I didn't see it until my 20s. So
no, I came in right around that time frame. Like I liked Twin Peaks. I also liked the X-Files. But I sort of lost interest kind of in later X-Files.
Was there an X-Files Christmas episode?
I wasn't there to the end.
I was just thinking about that.
Because, yeah, I think there was.
There should have been one.
There probably was. There's probably some Santa killer.
I don't think it was anything like that. But it was more like a Christmas miracle type of thing. I seem to remember one, but it's not. It doesn't stick out in my mind. So, but that would have been a good show for it.
there's something called How the Ghosts Stole Christmas, which is an X-Files episode.
Okay, I think they went into, I think that's clicking now, Mulder and Scully go into a haunted house and are shown a bunch of different things, including, I think, their own deaths together.
Yeah.
And they come out and it's like, we'll never speak of this again. But yes, I
was
think
season
that was a particularly creepy episode too. I think it was directed by David Duchovny.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, Mulder and Scully stake at a house that is supposedly haunted by ghosts of two lovers who killed each other in a lover's pact packed 81 years before.
And they step into those roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. There's so much.
If you can name a TV show, chances are almost sitting at like 90% that they've done a Christmas special or a Hanukkah special, or they've done, there's some sort of special around a holiday side.
And you know, we're saying Christmas a lot because we're not a PC friendly show. I mean, Christmas is for everybody. It's been so commercialized now that it's not a Christian holiday anymore.
Yeah,
it's a holiday for everybody, and that's the way we feel about it. So, you know, happy whatever your holiday of choice, but you know, all that Christmas cheer should be universal.
Yeah, let's just make it like we call it Christmas. That's what we have. I kind of look at it as like, try not to be a dick time of year.
Yeah,
that should be what it is.
And the best way to do that is to stay out of the malls. It's stressful. It sucks. And we have Amazon now.
Yeah, or if it is, maybe go to the malls. We don't want to have the Amazon employees just work to death.
Well, that's
the reality.
True.
All the Christmas classic movies center around the Western ideal of Christmas, and none of them focus on the commercialization of it.
No,
except for maybe like Bad Santa.
Well, yeah, Jingle All the Way. They were everybody.
Jingle All the Way is basically all around that.
Hunting for a specific toy.
Turbo
so.
Man, come on, guys.
Yeah, which reminds me, like that was the whole Cabbage Patch scenario when I was growing up. The Cabbage Patch Kids.
Almost.
What is it this year? BB-8. Although I could have got one yesterday.
I don't know. Pound this dog with pounds.
Pound puppies?
No.
Pound Puppies back?
No, there's something like Pup Patrol is what I've heard is a big thing.
We're not cool anymore.
We don't have children. We are too busy being children.
Well, you know, I run a comic shop. I'm supposed to know these things so I can market to them. But
yeah, it's yeah, the commercialization of it, a lot of it is all there in like some of these movies.
Some of them, but the majority focus on like the family together time and spirit of the holidays.
Or you have Love Actually, where it's like all intertwining stories about the different kinds of love.
Was E.T. a Christmas movie?
No.
I just had that feel-good theme, I guess.
Well,
it feels like it should be.
I think it ended before Christmas because there is a portion of at Halloween where E.T. is dressed up.
I just remember so much of it being marketed to me around that time that I just associate it with Christmas.
Mm. Yeah, I associate Frozen with Christmas ever since the past 2 years happened.
Christmas commercials.
Oh, I think there is actually a TV special.
That would be terrifying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it went the same place as the Star Wars one, but...
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, I think now it's all the TV shows that have the Christmas specials, but it feels like you don't actually have, like, movies trying to go to TV Christmas specials. That used to be the thing to do when we were younger. It was,
did
like, Alf movies and TV.
A Christmas special?
Oh, it had
oh,
to
I'm
have.
Sure it did.
I'm positive Alf.
Probably
had
more than one.
Hey, Willie!
Yeah,
where he lets the cat live. I don't know.
He always did.
Yeah, well, that's because they kept stopping him from eating the cat.
What's your favorite Christmas music? Like, there's always somebody who's... Every household had that one Christmas album, one that you loved, and usually the rest you hated, and those are the ones that got played most of the time with the ones you hated, but...
I don't know. It wasn't the Christmas album, but ever since we were talking about, like, Christmas movies this week, all I've had going through my head is, like... All the songs from How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Like, I can't even go that low.
I don't remember who was the guy who
Boris
sang.
Boris Karloff.
No, Karloff did not sing in those, but they found somebody who sounded similar in tone. So, you know, everybody thinks it's Boris, but yeah, Boris did not sing in that episode. Yeah, but for me,
sauerkraut sandwich.
There are two
with
voices.
So good.
There are two voices for Christmas for me in my mind for music wise, and that was Bing Crosby and Burl Ives.
Yeah, Burl Ives for me, especially because he did all the music in Rudolph.
And that's where that comes from. And then, like, that album would be played at home, and it just would bring me back to that episode, that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special. And those are the voices of Christmas for me.
Back when I worked at the video game store, we used to sell music CDs, so that tells you how far back this was. And there was this one Christmas album, and the gal that runs the place loves Christmas stuff. Like, she would put Christmas shit out right away and whatever. There's this one, and I can't even remember what the group was. It was, like, some nobody band that did one Christmas album. But they always had this song, and it was, like, Chocolate for Breakfast or something was the song. And no one knows what I'm talking about. But I always remember that Chocolate for Breakfast, and it just reminds me.
This got played.
Somewhat familiar.
This got played for the elves while they're working.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but yeah, for sure, Burl Ives. I'm not really a Christmas music guy. I don't know. No Presents for Christmas by King Diamond, maybe.
Well, hey, I do have a heavy metal Christmas album, so
I was going to say I played in my store when I had my toy store. I played the Twisted Sister Christmas album for, like, every day in December, and it was awesome.
That would be nice.
That is amazing. I might have to do that at the shop.
It is very good.
Yeah, sorry, I looked up the name of the guy who sang in The Grinch Stole Christmas, and his name, and you will love this, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Nice.
I feel like you just made that up.
Look!
As she holds her phone at me, yeah. I believe you. But we didn't need to know that now, because guess what we're doing next week?
I know.
We're doing The Grinch.
We are doing How the Grinch Stole Christmas, because we are breaking one of our rules, because we did say no TV, but I really was fascinated with the idea of a Dr. Seuss book you can read slowly if you do the voices in about 12 minutes, that was stretched out to 22-minute television special that turned into a probably hour and 45, two-hour monstrosity of a movie.
Yeah.
So,
and to be fair, it was
talking about.
And it was playing on, like, all different, it's played on basically kind of all networks, which would be more wider than any TV movie. A TV movie just basically plays on the network that financed it and nowhere else. Whereas The Grinch Who Stole Christmas has played on a ton of TV networks, which is basically how you would distribute a movie for television stations.
And for all our listeners who have been with us for every single episode, our zero episode, we do talk about our little exit strategy, the one where, you know, every now and again, the thing that is the exception to the rule but still proves the rule. And we talked about the Twilight Zone episodes that inspired the film and were very much a remake of those episodes in the film. So at some point down the road, yes, we will still do it, but we're saving that one up for a special episode. So, but I think this falls in that category. So, and you know, I think we'll look at it at something like that again, where something animated was turned into live action, because we've seen a few of those, and I think those count as remakes.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
So, and those are certainly fascinating anomalies in and of themselves, because now you're taken from something like animation, where you're really only limited by the creativity of the animators, because no matter how crazy the scene is, it doesn't change the budget of the movie, and you can get away with a lot more in animation, and then you suddenly go to live action. Well, that rule changes, and, you know, something that was really spectacular in animation got really expensive on screen, so.
True, and sometimes some of the magic doesn't quite translate.
Yeah, so there's a lot of potential in some of those episodes, and we were talking about 1001 Dalmatians as one of those movies, and we'll get to those as well, so there's... sadly, Hollywood will never let us go. With this show, this particular podcast may never end, people.
It seems every day we get a Christmas present of, hey, they're going to remake this movie.
Oh, there's so many Westerns recently that have been announced as remakes, but out of their time period. It's getting annoying.
A few more sci-fis.
Yeah, so.
We're never going to be able to keep up, unless we sit in a basement and do these 24/7.
Yeah, you could never, like, what did they just announce? Memento? Shitty movie, why would you remake it?
Oh, whoa.
Nope, shitty movie.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa, we are going to have a good fist movie. Fight here.
Terrible.
Which would make it more like Christmas.
Yeah, totally, right?
If there isn't an argument or a fight.
Somebody's
that does feel like Christmas a lot.
It really does feel like Christmas. All we need here is your racist Aunt Becky, and it's going to be just like Christmas.
I don't have an Aunt Becky.
No, I'm talking about generally. Everybody has a racist Aunt Becky.
That's true. Everybody's got it. So, well, you know, thanks for tuning in, guys. This is our Christmas, our Christmas round table today.
Yes.
Our Christmas ramble, you know, there's so much that happens around this time, and there aren't a lot of Christmas remakes. There are a few. And let's face it, we want to be around next Christmas to do this, and, we'll run out of Christmas movies at some point. So we didn't want to burn them all out in this month, and of course we do want a week off for Christmas as well. So, so this is our Christmas ramble. Next week we'll actually do a movie, and that is going to be How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And tell us about your Christmas experiences, your favorite movies and TV episodes, and you can do that several different ways. You can email us directly at invasionoftheremake@gmail.com. or at Invasion Remake on Twitter, or of course our Facebook page, Invasion of the Remake. So let us know, and you know, we've got a few more weeks left of the month, and if you write in, we can maybe get some of those on the air. So, you know, tell us what you got, and maybe we'll talk about it on the air. So any closing comments, guys?
I didn't mention this before. I still Harold and Kumar Christmas one.
Oh yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish everybody could see it in the theaters, because still the best use of 3D I found on film.
I'm starting to notice 3D's going away, so that makes me.
Yeah,
happy.
But this was the best use of 3D. They did smoke rings that came out at you, and it's better than anything I've ever seen.
Well, fair enough. So anybody who can see it in the theaters at this point,
well, no,
like, go ahead.
If it works on your 3D TV, or if you know somebody who has
who
a 3D TV,
bought one of those,
I don't know, somebody might have. I'm kind of curious. This is my question to the
audience.
I know
they made them. Did anybody buy them?
I know they made them. I'm pretty sure people bought them. If you've bought one or know somebody who has one, get this movie, see if it works. I don't know. I just know it was the best use of 3D I've ever seen.
Yes, and I guess you're going to have to do it on a fairly robust television, because I don't know how effective that would be at 19 inches.
No. Well, I don't think the 3D televisions come much smaller than...
No.
I needed like a small TV for my study area, and it was a bitch to find one under 40 inches. Like,
yeah.
It was really hard. I would say that even my three sizes too small Grinch-like heart is warmed every year by Rudolph. So even if you hate Christmas, you should just watch that movie, because it's awesome.
Yeah, you watch Rudolph, you can't hate Christmas that much if you watch Rudolph.
At least for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
The land of misfit toys. I always kind of cry a little. I feel sad when they're discarded.
Me too. Who ever heard of a Charlie in the Box?
Dude, I'm a cowboy who rides an ostrich.
I'm a bird that doesn't fly.
I swim.
Yeah, I could do the whole movie. I've seen it so much. I love it.
We might have to do that.
Jingle, the jingle, all, reindeer.
All Jeff cast. All right, well, I think that's it. Happy holidays to everybody. We will be back again next week with The Grinch. I'm Jason.
I'm Trish.
That's the first time. That's never happened.
We're usually so much more polished than this.
I know, right?
Okay, do it again. Well, I did mine clean, so.
I'm Trish.
Oh,
Dennis.
You guys are waiting on me. I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Trish.
And we are completely discombobulated, and we are out of here.
Ho, ho, ho.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.